Thank you, my brother, and you do well if you open your scripture on Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. We are in a series of studies on Jesus Christ, and we have pick up the pieces in November, and we keep on December, so the people will know that Christmas without Jesus is not Christmas. As a matter of fact, my next sermon will be No Christ, No Christmas on the 16th, and then another sermon in the evening with the choir singing the cantata. But this morning, I want to call your attention to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. We all know chapter 9, verse 6 and verse 7. I took time very carefully to put more than 2 hours. It should not be in that way to me, who I'm familiar with the Hebrew, but took me more than 2 hours to be sure that what I'm going to read the text in Hebrew for you is absolutely correct. Try to ponder in each one of the verbs and in each one of the expressions of those verbs. They are not far away from the King James. They are identical, but they are more explanatory when you look into the Hebrew language. And I'm going to speak only because of the time and two words of the text. I remember teaching this text in Nicaragua for 8 hours without stop. Only 20 cups of coffee were placed for me, and I was teaching to pastors. And it was a delight that those people will raise their hand and interrupt the teaching and ask me questions. And that was the strength of the Nicaraguan church. Now here it is. Look in your Bible, and if you want to look into what I'm going to read for you, it's in the bulletin in my outline. I took careful writing of the text in Hebrew. Isaiah 9 and verse 6 in English, in the King James Version, said this: "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." It looks like it is on the air because it's not yet accomplished in English. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now picture yourself, this is Isaiah writing the prophecy, all right, to people who will not believe a word he said. Isaiah, prophet Isaiah was a failure as a prophet in his time. Not today, all right? When we look at Isaiah, this man knows the book of Isaiah, he's a scholar. But when Isaiah wrote these words, nobody paid attention. So many times he wanted to quit as a prophet, and God says, stay there, but nobody's going to believe. And so he prophesies on the future side with something that has been done in heaven. And he said, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, and the translators put commas and periods in the Bible, which are not in the original. In the Hebrew language, there is no commas, semicolons. There is 2 dots on the left of a word that indicate paragraph ends, next paragraph start. But there is no division. You only divide the words by pronunciation. And so the King James said, Wonderful, and there is a comma, Counselor, and there is a comma, the Mighty God, there is a comma, the Everlasting Father, there is a comma, the Prince of Peace. Now I'm going to let you know how these flows into Hebrew so well. It's made of the perfect verb. The perfect verb, remember Hebrew, the action is incomplete, it's future, the action is completed, it's past. Perfect past now. Done. All right. Here's what the Bible says. For a male child. That's very important. The Hebrew word identify a male child hath been born to us. A male child. Third person singular. Perfect. As we say it today, there is no such a word as perfect in the Hebrew. There is a plow, that's the word that we say, has been born to us. A son has been given to us. And absolute sovereignty should be upon his shoulder. And this is the name he has been given. The son is done. The work is done. It's going to have future effects, like the Hebrew always said. Something has been done in the past. They will have future effects in the future. And here is the name that has been given. All right? There is no comma between the words, so they will be extraordinary counselor. Extraordinary counselor. Beyond your imagination. Mighty God. And some people doubt that Jesus was not called in the Bible God. If you go in details, and at 3:30, I think Pastor Thompson will go in detail on this text, mighty God is in Hebrew 1:8, describes to you that is mighty God. Father of eternity. Not like the King James said, everlasting Father, which is a title. Father of eternity, which is a cause. He causes eternity to be. And as a father, he can gender eternity. No wonder John 3:16 said that he give you everlasting life. You see that? How the whole thing match together? Is a father of eternity. A father gender the family. And so he gender eternity. Each time you believe in Jesus, he gender eternity in your heart. That's what the prophecy said. And that's what John 3:16 really said. Then the beautiful words ends on that great word, Prince of Peace. It is marvelous. Now, because of time, and you're not used to the 3-4 hours preaching, I'm going to take those words, extraordinary counselor, or more familiar to you, wonderful counselor. And I'm going to go through the Bible and show you that those words of prophecy that has been done in the counsel of God and in the decrees of God, and will be 1,700 years later applied to the Lord Jesus, how they apply. Wonderful counselor. And find in the Jesus the evidence that fulfilled that prophecy for you. So it's going to be a kind of a serious Bible study. That's why you're here this morning. That's where you are listening. I just received a beautiful card from Korea from somebody named Kim, thanking for our Bible study. They are brother broadcast of the Korea waves. And he said, we never knew that you knew Korean. Well, there is a trick on the TV in sounds in Korea. But I tell you, it's so beautiful to know. And I was driving from Modesto last night late and getting home from visiting family. And I got a call from Virginia where somebody said, are you the real pastor that is speaking Bethel? I said, yeah. So I called the office and the office switched to this number. And how wonderful. He said, you don't know me. And I know you from a Bible conference a long time ago. Somebody gave me your name and the church webpage. And I've been listening, and I was on the psychiatry treatment. No longer I need a psychiatrist. Jesus has become my psychologist, and you taught me the word. He said, I'm so happy. And you know, 25 years of ministry, people say, well, how many people you have? And I always said, and I will say it today in the report, the only thing that I have in my account is this. I have taught you the word. I have taught you the word in the pulpit. I have taught you the word in my style of life. And so that's my job as a pastor to you. All right. Now, let's take that word, wonderful counselor, extraordinary counselor, and let's do a little study on in that word, extraordinary counselor. Now, number one, as a wonderful counselor, he became available to us. You maybe know a lot of people who know a lot of things, but cost too much money to talk to them, or they are not available to you. But he became available to us. Number one, as a person, not as a ghost. If you go with your Bible to the book of Philippians, chapter 2, page 1-79, Philippians chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses that are familiar to you, verses 2-7 in Philippians chapter 2. So you will be able to understand Jesus as a person. He was not a ghost. He was not a mystery. He was a person, and he became available to the people of his time. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, reading from the King James Bible, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind." There was a jealousy in the church of Philippi. Remember, we study between two ladies who want to have the domination of the church. There was a jealousy. And Paul said, "Now fulfill my joy. Please stop doing this childhood jealousy. Having the same love, have been one accord. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in loving kindness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves," which is very hard to do if you have no Christ in you. Now, look at verse 4. "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And then Paul gives us the example. And look at what he says in verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, though it thought it no robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." Was made in the likeness of men. He was not total man, because you know this story, that the Holy Spirit got Mary pregnant. So the sperms that got Jesus into the world were no human, tainted by sin. They were unclean. They were the sperms of God who were not sinful. And so therefore Jesus can be in this earth without sin, without the charge of being a sinner. And so as a counselor, he became available to us as a person. Jesus is not a mystery. Jesus is no a ghost. He is a person without sin. Now also he became available as a high priest. If you move your Bible now to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. By the way, my outline between parentheses has also the page number, so by looking in the outline, you have the page number where Hebrews 4:14 will be found in the Bible that is in the pew. Hebrews 4:14, I'm going to read verse 14, 15, and 16 to show you that Christianity is not putting away Judaism. In the Jewish economy, wisely, God have given by his grace to the Jewish people a high priest. And that high priest was the only person, remember, that God will accept it in the Holy of Holies. The priests cannot go into the Holy of Holies. And the people were not made priests yet. And so, therefore, the priests had to wait on the court of the people. And the priests on the holy place. But in the Holy of Holies, in the very presence of God, pleading the cause to God, only the high priest. And he cannot go every day, only once a year. And he has to offer first for his own sin, and then for the sin of the people. Now, why we, Christianity today, in our economy, we do not have priests? In Mexico, when I went to do a lot of preaching in Mexico, they called me Padre Otero. It means Father Otero. And I don't say a word to them because it was hard to explain. If they hear the word, then they will understand. So, oh, here is Padre Otero. And so much Padre Otero was going on that the bishop of the city and Sonora came in and said, "Well, the doors of our church are open." And I ended up preaching in the Roman Catholic church there in town. Padre Otero came in, all right, dressed in civil clothing. Now, here is what it is. You know, you don't want to offend people. You want to explain people the word. And let the word wash their brains and illuminate their thoughts. And here is how Christianity thinks today. We are not putting away Judaism. This is our pedestal, Judaism. But we have the same economy that the Jewish people, but we need a high priest. It's not Padre Otero. You know who is the high priest? Let's read it. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens," look at what the Bible says, "Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." The high priest of Christianity is no Pope so-and-so, is Jesus. Will you got it? The Bible not only pointed him, he gave us the name. And now he tells us the reason why he is a high priest and never lose the priesthood. Look here in verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like us, we are, yet without sin. And you can read that in Matthew 4, verse 1 to 11, where he was tested like you are, but he was without sin. And look at the invitation in verse 16. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace. That includes ladies, by the way, and man as a male. All right? Come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the times of need. And so, looking into Isaiah, he's a wonderful counselor. He became available to us. He became available as a person, and better than anything else, he became available as a high priest. He takes my prayer into the presence of God. That is why, if you look now in your Bible in Ephesians 5:20, that is why we Christians close our prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus. In your lifetime, when you pray and you say, in Jesus' precious name, anybody have asked you anything? When I go into a restaurant, I be sure they ain't allowed, not so allowed like our brother Chris, but allowed, I say, in the name of Jesus Christ. And I look around and everybody is looking to you and I smile and I smile back. Okay, here it is. This is why, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus. Why? This is not a formula of magic. This is saying, Lord, whatever I pray is not on my merits, but it's on the merits of the high priest who is going to come holy into your presence. Now, I think Judaism is right in getting upset with this. Because they know that if you're going to be in the holy place and you're going to say to God, receive my prayer, then you claim to be holy and accepted of God. And we Christians believe that Jesus Christ is holy as God is holy, pure, and so he can offer your prayers and my prayers and my name. He became available in that way. Also, he became available as an intercessor. Sometimes you don't like to pray even. You are so upset. Sometimes you are so convinced that things go wrong that you do not, I don't know why I need to pray about this. Sometimes people get so discouraged, they say, why praying is useless. I thank God. The other day we studied here on Wednesday night. We studied in the Psalms. I'm still impressed. This is my fifth time on the Psalm. I'm still impressed on Psalm 136. You know how many times the Bible says, and his mercy endured forever? 26 times in one Psalm. His mercy endured forever. I said, Lord, thank you. But I want you to show you a verse in Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. Romans chapter 8. In verse 34. And here is what it is. The Bible reveals he is a wonderful counselor. He's available to me as a person. He's available to me in the highest degree as a high priest. But he is now available to me as somebody in my shoulders. Look at verse 34 in Romans chapter 8. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yeah, rather that is risen again. How important it is to see Jesus as resurrected. Who is even, where is Jesus? At the right hand of God. Who also maketh, what? Intercession for us. Those moments, my brother and my sister. Those moments that you have no comprehension of what happened to you. Those moments that total depression that happened to all of us. That we say, why this happened to me? God, the Son is praying for you. So God, have mercy of him, a sinner. We now know why we get blessed, even though sometimes we are like a donkey.
Remember, Hugo Chavez, the president, the other day I watched the whole show directly from Caracas when he was denied absolute power and absolute social behavior. And he said, as he talked, I've been on the Perón, so I know how dictators operate. And he said in a way, he said, well, I have to accept this. And I said, God, you have mercy on Venezuela. He is accepting, you know, he has the generals over there. He can call the generals and do what he wants to. But he said, no, I have to accept this. It is not a defeat. And it's a defeat, he said. And he goes like this. And then he said, well, you know, I don't understand why, but I will come back and maybe restructure things around. And that's what God is with us. There is a moment in our life where we are down, but we are not lost. Jesus praying for you. That's why you can overcome. That's when you have a failure. But that's not the end of your life, my brother, whether it is divorce or whatever. That's not the end of your life. Jesus is praying for you to restore you. Not only is your high priest takes your prayer, but the day you do not pray, he's praying for you. It's not that outstanding. I thought, boy, no wonder the Bible called him extraordinary counselor. Who would be a counselor like that? To have the patience like that. Amazing. So as a counselor, he became available to us. Use Jesus as your high priest, will you? Use Jesus as your high priest. For anything, just use him. Secondly, as a wonderful counselor, he came with answers to our problems. Wow, now I like him more. He came with answers to our problems. He has answers for doctors in the temple. Look at in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, please. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and verse 41. Look at what the scriptures says. Chapter 2, verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year, the feast of the Passover. I'm going to read a few verses, all right? Because I don't want you to trust my words. I want you to trust this one, the written word, all right? Verse 42. And when he was 12 years old, do you remember what happened? You are 12 years old? I told my father, at 12 years old, I'm going to be a psychologist. My father said, you can't. Why? Because in the family, we are 8 engineers. You have to be an engineer first. And then you can study medicine. You can study what you want to. But first, you have to study the name of the family. That's tradition in the Spanish world, all right? And look at here in verse 42. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. You know, they were talking, they were at the Passover, and maybe who knows what Joseph and Mary were talking so passionately, they never noticed that Jesus was not with them. That's very hard to believe a mother will not notice that, but maybe they were talking about the things of God so deeply, forgot about Jesus. All right, verse 44. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolks and acquaintance. They walked for the whole day. You got it? They don't drive over there. They walk the whole day. Sometimes here in America, you say, well, how far is that? It's 1 hour in car. And the Bible says 2 days walking. All right? You don't need to go to the gym over there. No 24 fitness. You just walk. All right? And here's what it is. They walk for the whole day. They say, what is Jesus? Oh, they must be with the ankle. They must be with somebody. You know, they never thought about it. Verse 45. And when they found him not, they returned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Now, if you look for your child, usually you go to a toy store at 12 years old, all right? If you were like me, you go to a shoe store, because my mother was a shoemaker, and I love shoes. To me, shoes is very important. That's what my mother said, and I kept it. So
They never thought that Jesus would be on the school of theology, discussing theology with the people. Well, it's fascinating. Look at here, verse 46. And it came to pass, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, verse 47. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Of course, he was God. Verse 48, and when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. And he went down with them to Jerusalem. So he has answers for doctors. Don't be afraid to show the Bible to a doctor. He has answers for doctors. Jesus has answers for doctors. Don't be afraid of people who said, well, I have graduate education. If they are not believers, they have no graduate education. Don't even have bachelor education. Not even grammar education. They need to be a believer to get a doctor education. You got it? Number two, he has answers for Nicodemus. This one you know very well, John chapter 3. He has answers for Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a doctor of the law, member of the Sanhedrin, member of the board of directors of Jerusalem. And look at in John 3, the Bible said in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, which, you know, means master, we know that thou art a teacher, came from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost, and said, God be with him. And Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now Nicodemus is a doctor, and he said, what do you say? And he makes a ridicule of himself. Look at verse 4. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, son, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water, that is the word, Ephesians 5:26, and the Spirit, John 16, verse 7-9, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, I'm talking about spiritual life, and mankind, religious, are always trying to understand this life. Fellow, you will never understand this life unless you understand the spiritual life that is within you. This is very important. This is dramatic. And so he has answers for all unbelievers. Jesus have answers for all unbelievers. Don't give your answers to people. Give God's answers to people. That is the answer that is good. I don't have the time to go through others, so I jump to point number three. Oh, I wish I had 2 hours with you. It's just delighting. Number three. As a wonderful counselor, he came with the assurance of hope. He came with an assurance of hope. He has a tremendous love for the women at the well. Look with me in John chapter 4. Go with me to John chapter 4. I go through this. See, I could eliminate time by not reading so many scriptures, but if I don't read so many scriptures, you don't have the light of God. You have my light. So here it is. John chapter 4, verse 17. Remember the woman? She was a super prostitute. She had 4 or 5 husbands. Jesus already told her that. And so on. Would Jesus still talking to her? This was a low category lady. And everybody knew it. Verse 17. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said, go and call your husband. I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. And then Jesus opened the, we say in Spanish, take los trapitos afuera del sol. In other words, what happened is this. In Spanish, you don't have dryer, okay? At least in my time. And still today, you have to have a lot of money to have a dryer. You need to be way up to have a dryer.
So what do? Mama takes all the clothing and hang the clothing. And now you, by watching the neighbor's backyard, you know what clothing they use. You know, they take the trapitos. All right, here it is. This is what Jesus said. Jesus is going to see who you are. All right. Verse 18. For thou have had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not a husband. You're a pareja. You know that word, pareja? You're a pair. In Spanish, people said, are you married? They didn't ask you, are you married? He said, are you together one time in a restaurant in Costa Rica? I said, yes, we're together. For how long? For 46 years. Wow. You are pareja? Yeah, we are pareja. My wife and I. Even though I'm tall and she's, oh, I like it. It's very practical. It's mine. And she said, well, we married for 46 years. Oh, you're married. You are no pareja. We are pareja. Pareja means pair. We are a pair. My wife and I. Oh, but you are married. That's different. Nobody was married. They lived together. That's the new style. Oh, come on. Look at what Jesus said. For thou hast five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that said thou truly. And the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. She read the scripture. Of course, she read the five books of the Bible that the Samaritans have. One of the best documents in the Hebrew language. She read that and she said, man, only a prophet can reveal the things of God. Our father worshiped in this mountain. Then she went in theology. That's what people do when they don't want to really believe. They want to argue. Don't argue with anybody. Just tell believe. Look at what the verse 20 said. Our father worshiped in this mountain, and ye said that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Now, I want to know the form of the service, how the service should be done. And Jesus cut through that. Look at in verse 21. And Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jew. In other words, we know the true religion. But the hour cometh, and now is that clear? When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such as worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in a spirit and in truth. And the woman said unto him, I know, see, she knew the Bible, the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. The same word, Messiah in Hebrew, Christ in Greek. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Now some people say, well, Jesus never said he was the Messiah. Look at the next verse, verse 26. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee, am he, I'm the Messiah. Now that woman believed the stuff that Jesus told her, believe everything. In verse 39, for example, the Bible said, and many of the Samaritans of that city believe on him for the saying of the women which testify. She believed, and the next thing you do after believe is what Christ told you here, you testify. You testify. So he was a wonderful counselor. He came with an answer of hope. He had love for that woman. He had love for a crooked Zacchaeus, remember? He would hide in a tree, and Jesus would come in. And after talking, he said, I return it four times. He had love for a dying thief at the cross, remember? One thief mocked on him, and the other said, are you doing that? We are guilty, but he's not guilty. And Jesus said, today you will be in paradise with me. And remember, no situation is hopeless for Jesus. He said, come unto me, those who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He don't say, come unto me, those who have some problems. He said, come unto me, everybody. Everybody. I don't care if your problem is romantic problems. I don't care if your problem is emotional problems. I don't care if your problem is mental problem. I don't care if it's a physical problem. Come unto me, said Jesus. The problem with people is they will not come to Jesus. So here's my conclusion. Sorry I had to chunk that sermon in 20 pieces. What I was thinking when I prepared it? I was happy, see? I was happy. And when I'm happy, I lost track of time in the Bible. You know, that one time I have a truck driver, big truck driver, giant truck driver, just beside my desk, like this. And I was just studying Hebrew so well, and suddenly I see this monument beside me. Oh, I grabbed the gun. I said, what happened? He said, no, I have a check of $100 for you. I've been listening to the radio, and I mean to pass and give you this offering. As I pass by in the morning here, I hear, you have helped me. And I want to shoot the guy. You know, it's just a different story. Have you done this? Have you read the Bible? You know, you read the newspaper, and if it's a sport, you keep on reading. But I read the Bible, and I cannot let it go. It's passion. Because this is the only thing that will make you wise. And thank God that he gave me the knowledge of the Hebrew. Thank God. Now, I want to conclude in this. I read all kinds of things. I have a reading in Maine. I received from governors. I wrote to every governor of the United States a letter. And I said, how is your state? Will you explain your state to me from the Christian point of view? And the governor of Maine sent me this letter. And he said, let me tell you this story to teach you how Christians we are. One night at dinner, a man had spent many summers in Maine. He was fascinating his companions by telling of his experiences in a little town named Flagstaff. We have a Flagstaff town in Arizona, but this one is in Maine. The town was to be flooded as part of the large lake for which a dam was being built. In other words, we experienced this not too long ago, 10 years ago, here in town. The lakeside was to be flooded to empty the lake. In the month before it was to be flooded, all improvements and repairs of the whole town were stopped. Imagine that the lake is going to be flood the city, and the whole city will be covered by water because they have to fix the lake. What was the use of painting the house if it were to be covered with water in 6 months? Why repair anything when the whole village was to be wiped out? So week by week, the whole town became more and more messy and more wretched. And then the man said to these companions, I have learned something from this. Where there is no faith in the future, there is no power or hope in the present. You know that right? When there is no faith for the future, there is no power or hope for the present. Let me move the Bible to Mark Gospel chapter 11. And verse 22. Here is what the Bible says as I close. Mark Gospel 11:22. Jesus is talking to the disciples, and is in an answer to their questions, he says these important words. He says, have faith in yourself. No. Have faith in God. If you have not put faith in God, your life is wasted and you are worthless. I don't care if you're a medical doctor, if you're an engineer, or whatever you are. If you have no faith in God, your life is wasted. I've been in court this last week. They summoned me as a jury. I enjoy it. I went in the morning. You sit down with everybody. Everybody is so mad that they called him. And I said, Lord, please, let me dismiss, and I don't have to sit on the 12 seats of the jury. Lo and behold, the whole morning went in, and the whole jury came in, and I'm sitting with the other guys and talking to a guy who was from Arabia and chatting, happy in the... And the judge said, well, we go for lunch. I had to, it's America, I don't have money now. So I had to go 3 courts. So I come back at 3 o'clock. All right. So we come back at 3 o'clock. And one guy pulled the string on it from the jury. He said, I have allergies. I cannot stand in the chair. I have allergies. Woo-hoo. The guy said, well, get out, get out. I said, well, that's a good third show. So I asked the other guy. I said, I wonder what they're going to do now. Lo and behold, number 75, Gabriel Otero. Oh, no, I said, I don't want to do this. So, jury number one. Jury number one. And I sit down. So, tell the story of your life. Oh, a big lesser. It took about 30 minutes talking to the judge. And then after, you know, I said, well, you're okay. And give my background, telling and so on. the lawyers come to ask questions. But I took note what the judge said before. Took note, page after page, I wrote it. And the guy, because I knew the lawyers will ask you questions. And came the defender. The case was a case of abuse of a child, two childs, five times, and things like that. And the key was this. The judge said to us, in a summary, he said, you need to judge the evidence, not what people said. The evidence. Well, I drive down and drive down. And the defender asked me, jury number one, always question to me. You're a little educated, they ask you a question. They don't want you there. Right. Okay, I thought I'd pass him. And then comes the second, the prosecutor. He's back to me. And he said, I'm going to ask a question, jury number one. So if you turn around, I answer the question. And so he turned around and I stood up. So the judge said, you don't have to stand up. No, I said, I don't stand up. I'm equal with him, you know. And I said, what's your question? He said, my question is this or the other. And it went on and on and on. And how the mind of man is, do you believe the mind of man is corrupted? Yes, sir, I believe it. He said, how corrupted? Your mind is corrupted. Mine is corrupted. We all corrupted. You think that the defender's mind is corrupted, just like yours. Oh, boy. I was really mad. And then he said, I tell you what the law said. Well, what the law said. If a child comes here to court, pay attention to this, and said, this man did this, the law said, that's evidence. So I stood up and said, I'm very sorry, I cannot believe that. Sir, the judge will command you to believe it. Not only God can command me, sir, by the way. I said, but that's not what the judge said. So I pulled my papers and the judge said, at 12 minutes on the jury, the judge said these words, and I go, and it's written over there, so you can check me. And the judge said, you'll check the evidence. Now I said, carefully, I went to lunch to my library, and I got the Webster Dictionary with me, and I have the Webster Dictionary, the impression. And the Webster Dictionary said, evidence, products of facts. Now, words are no products of facts. Oh, yes, it is. All right. My Bible now. So I got my Bible and said, here's what God said. He created the world by his word. And I read it in Hebrew. You believe it? No. Then you, why you call me the words are evidence then? Because these are not the facts. Well, you told me the words are evidence. Are you contradicting yourself? And people start applauding, you know. and then I sit down. And then the whole thing went on, and the judge said, well, now they have the privilege to say which one of these jurors you don't want to have. And the guy stood up, number one. He said, I said, you see, I said, I want to be here, judge. I said, I really was. Well, you can challenge this in court. This is a court. Let's talk to this fellow. I told you he's corrupted. Oh, so get out. You know, see, that's the way we think. You go for justice, there is no justice. We're all corrupted. The only thing is the blood of Christ who can clean us and the resurrected Jesus who is praying for us. Don't play around. Believe it. Like Jesus said. Believe it. Don't reason to it. Believe it. When you see it, believe it. Surrender yourself to Jesus. Otherwise your life will be a misery. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. That your word is so powerful. That convicted me when I was young. And is still convicting people all around. But thank you, Lord, that you sent us a wonderful counselor. He was a person. A person able to answer my problems. A person to understand me. A person not to judge me, but to offer me his blood and his resurrected power. Oh, Lord, I pray that people around the world may understand that Jesus had mercy till the day of judgment when he become the judge of all mankind. So, Lord, time is still open. Work in the hearts of people that they may believe. Believe God to Jesus. Oh, God, I pray that people will believe you. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thy truth unseen, thy love revealed.
Get ready for the next Sunday, okay? Will you stand, please, for the benediction? Remind you again that we have a very crucial, important business meeting where decisions going to be made for the new building, all right? Let's pray together. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord may his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.